We are continuing this evening in the book of 2 Peter. You'll open with me to 2 Peter and chapter 1. Our text for this evening is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. I'll begin reading. Really in verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 15. Because he's building on what he has already provided and what he will continue to provide as he writes this letter. So let us hear now God speak to us. We'll begin 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, we have heard you speak to us. Now we desire to gain understanding of this particular text, to know more of the truth that is identified here, one that is known, upon which we are established, one that is present with us, that we might be reminded of the truth, so that we would not walk in forgetfulness, but that we might walk in pureness of life, in joy, in knowing the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, A Much Needed Reminder. Because we do need to remember. We need to review and remember. In fact, when I was in seminary, I learned Hebrew and Greek. Now, I'm not one who can sit there and just pick any text out and just start reading it. But I learned enough to translate. And in doing that, I had to memorize a lot of words. And I have this, I still have them, this whole word document of all of these words that I made into flashcards, printed them out, cut them up. And I know if you talk to my wife, she will say, oh yes, I remember those days, because she was my flashcard holder. She would quiz me and hold up the card and tell me, oh, did you get that one right or not? And I had to review those a lot, a lot. I'm thankful now I have the opportunity to be in the text, although being in the Greek in the morning and in the evening here, my Hebrew is probably, so I need to be back in some Old Testament text, but I have the opportunity every week to be in the text and going through these things. But I had to review and review and review, because I knew that if I did not review, I would not remember. I would quickly forget. And the same is true of the Christian life. We need to review, review, review. In fact, the longer we walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are new applications, but the gospel is the same. And so maybe if you're coming in for the first time and you're hearing this and it's new to you, but you come and you grow and it can become somewhat routine. And we can start to lose and forget the deep truths that we once knew. And so we need to be reminded of these things because we are prone to forget. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. The world is going to distract us and draw us away. And Satan is a master at reminding us of our sin. A master of reminding us of our sin. And so we can develop what we might call spiritual amnesia. Spiritual forgetfulness. And don't think, well, I'm a Christian. That won't happen to me. Oh, perhaps it has happened to you. Perhaps you've forgotten truths, forgotten quickly what God has done for you. I mean, perhaps, you know, think about that. Have you experienced that? Have you been in a situation where something happens and then you tend to forget? Somebody else comes along by God's grace and says, remember. We need somebody to come from the outside sometimes and tell us, remember, because we can, if we forget, we can start to walk in somewhat of a spiritual blindness or darkness for a time. It doesn't mean we're outside of Christ. It means that we are not seeing things clearly, and we need to be reminded. Now, I'm not going to teach you any Greek or Hebrew words, but I will teach you an English word that I learned this week as I studied for this. Maybe this is a word you use all the time. It's not one I use. In fact, I had to look it up. It's a form of a common word, but it was used in a way. And I said, really? This is a word, remembrancer. Remembrancer. I read that. I thought, what? Be a remembrancer? So here's how I looked it up. I said, well, okay, maybe I like this commentator, but maybe he's just making a word up. Remembrancer. Here's the definition. A person with a job or responsibility of reminding others of something. A remembrancer. Now, we could say, okay, be a reminder, but that can also be used in other ways. A remembrancer. Be a remembrancer. And so we do need to be remembrancers. We need to be those who are called to and given the responsibility of reminding others of the truth of God's word, particularly the gospel. So not only do we need to remember, but we need to do what Peter is doing here, especially myself as a pastor. I need to be a remembrancer, one who reminds others of the truth so we don't forget. Peter's doing this, and Peter is urgently doing this. We're going to learn here that he is getting ready. He knows that shortly, he says, I will put off my tent. We'll see what that means in a moment. But he knows shortly he will be leaving this earth. He will be dying. He's not going to be around anymore. People can't just, well, I guess they couldn't ever ring Peter up on the phone or text him. But Peter can't aroused out of sleep by someone and say, Peter, I can't remember what you said. You told me the gospel. What did you say again? What was it that Jesus said on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, tell me again. He knows that that's not going to be possible. So he wants to leave them with something. He wants to remind them, and there's an urgency here. Notice the repetition. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. It is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. And again, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. When I put it this way, the Christian life is one of remembering the truth and reminding others of it. The Christian life is one of remembering the truth and reminding others of it. We need to remember the truth. I want to look at these two things. We need to remember the truth, and we need to remind others of it or be remembrancers. We need to remember the truth first off. And Peter tells us what he wants us and his readers to remember. Verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Now, what are these things? Well, certainly the things that he's writing in this letter, there's a difference of opinion. Some believe that by these things he's referencing the Gospel of Mark, which tradition has it Mark wrote those things that Peter told him. Others, maybe he's going to remind them of something in the future that he's going to write. But I think it's best to take this as he's reminding them of the things that he's writing to them in this letter. I'm reminding you of these things, particularly the things that he's already brought out, verses 3 through 11. The reality of who we are in Christ as those who have, by his divine power, been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Those who have been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God. Those who are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. wants to remind his readers and us of who we are in Christ. And then of what we are called to do as those who are in Christ. Remember, we talked about this last time. Growing by addition, add to your faith, and then that culminates in love. Who we are and how we are to live, these things. But he says, going on, these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So these things are connected to truth. Now, truth in Scripture, this word truth, is often used as a designation of the gospel. In fact, Paul uses it this way. Galatians and Colossians, he says, the truth of the gospel. Again, Paul in Ephesians and in 2 Timothy, he calls it the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. James calls it the word of truth. John in 2 John 4 says that he rejoices that his children are walking in the truth. And of course, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So not only is he pointing us back to, with these things, what he's written about, but also simply the truth of the gospel message. The core truth of the gospel. The saving knowledge of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is not something new. I'm reminding you, you already know it. It is a truth that you know and are established in. He calls it a present truth. We'll get to that. But it's a truth we know and are established in. This is Peter's equivalent to Jude's statement, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints in Jude 3. But it goes back even further. Listen to this from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. In other words, there is a truth that does not change, that we are established upon, that we already know, that we need to be reminded of. But he goes on to say it is a present truth. It's an interesting phrase here. Literally, in the Greek, it is the truth that is present with you. The truth that is present with you. And so it is a truth that is established. It is one of the old paths. We need to remember that. But it is a truth that is present with God's people. It is a living truth. It is not a truth for yesterday, but a truth for today. It is fresh, not in that it changes, but it is freshly given to us. The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts. That's why we can read that God's mercies are new every morning. It's a wonderful thing. The Word of God is unlike any other book. It is a living Word. It is established. We are established upon it. And yet, it is a present with you Word. It is in you. The reality is that the Holy Spirit takes the Word and gives us fresh assurances of God's love every day. That's a wonderful thing. And so there are these two things that we need to understand. The Christian life, there's a sense in which as I preach the Word, I may be preaching something that someone has not heard before. But chances are, and particularly in our evening service, I'm preaching to people who already know quite a bit. But that's okay. Luther says that there's a twofold objective to the Christian ministry. He says the first is teaching, which is laying the foundation of faith and preaching it to those who are ignorant of it. The second is exhorting, or as Peter says here, reminding, which is preaching to those who know and have heard the gospel, admonishing and stirring them up to remember what they know and to continue and increase in it. And so, all that to say, preaching is not necessarily giving people something new. It's not necessarily giving you something new, something you don't already know. It is reminding you of what you already know but may have forgotten. Somebody may ask me, what do you do for a living? I say, well, I remind people. I remind forgetful people. That's my job. That's an interesting way to put it. One pastor, he says, when I'm asked on an airplane, what do you do for a living? He says, I teach people how to live. It's another interesting way to put it. I may also say, well, I remind people who are forgetful. And that may lead to an interesting conversation. Well, what do you mean you remind people that are forgetful? Well, here's what I'm called to do. So for the most part, I'm going to tell you, especially those of you who have walked with God for a long period of time, I'm going to tell you things you already know. And that's okay. In fact, that's good for me. Because if I had to come up here and come up with new things that you've never heard before every week, one, I wouldn't be preaching the Word. I'd be preaching the Word of Christopher. And I wouldn't be helping you. So I'm going to lead you down the old paths. Because you and I tend to forget. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And have you ever read the Word of God and then thought, why didn't I remember that? Maybe you've even memorized it, and then you read it and you think, I was struggling the other day. Why didn't I think of this? It happens, doesn't it? So we need to remember. Peter knew this. Peter knew that the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. Remember Peter, he said, I am going to die with you, Jesus. Don't worry about it. And then he denied him three times. Peter's not writing as one who hasn't had the experience of forgetting. Forgetting. Here's another reason why we need to remember, because we are prone to, as we forget, we're prone to settle into a routine. R.C. Sproul puts it this way, we can become at ease in Zion. Zion, the picture of coming in to God's presence. Things are going well, so we become sluggish, and we need to be stirred up again. Another reason, sin is deceptive. The heart is deceitful. We can be deceived easily. Our minds need to be renewed. What does Paul say in Romans 12:2? That we need to be not conformed to this world, but by the renewing of our minds. We need to be changed. And so this is part of the renewing of our minds. That's why we need to continually come back to the Word of God. But again, another reason why we are prone to forget is because Satan is a master at reminding us, not of the truths of God, although he'll take those and twist them, but he's a master of reminding us of our own sin. He's the accuser of the brethren. He is going to work hard to remind you that you are a sinner. Now, is that true? Yes. See how he comes in with a truth and then twists it. You're a sinner who is beyond hope. You're a sinner who is beyond salvation. I go back again and again. I think Martin Luther said it. When Satan tells me I'm a sinner, I agree with him. I am a great sinner. But then I respond, I have a great Savior. That's what we need to remember. I'm a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. And that makes all the difference. Okay, we need to remember, and that's what Peter is doing here. He's calling us to remember these things, the things that we know and are established, the things that are a present truth with us. But then, I also want you to see, secondly, that we need to remind others of the truth. When we are not in that place where we are forgetting, but that we are rooted and grounded in the things of God, we need to go forth and remind others, be gospel remembrancers. We need to remind others because, especially myself as a pastor, because failing to do so is to neglect my duty. Notice what Peter says here. He says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. You see, Peter recognized that he had a duty to be a reminder of the truths of God. And as a pastor, that is something I take to heart. In fact, if I fail to remind you of these truths, I am negligent. And I'll have to give an account to God. And so I'm going to remind you of these truths. Peter makes a commitment here. I am not going to fail to remind you. I will remind you. I will be careful that you have a reminder even after I have gone on to be with the Lord. Paul did the same thing. Paul, in Acts 20, we're told, he says, I did not neglect with tears to warn you. 3 years. To the Romans, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you. To the Corinthians, brethren, I declare to you the gospel that I have already preached to you. To Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And to the church in Philippi, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. In other words, Paul is saying the same thing Peter's saying. I'm going to repeat myself because it's good for you to hear this again and again and again. It's good for me to hear this again and again and again. It's what the Old Testament called the prophets to do. Isaiah 62, verse 6. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. What am I doing but making mention of the Lord to you? Of his promises, of his works. And the command is, do not remain silent. Keep speaking. This is the primary job of a pastor. To be a gospel reminder. It's a good thing for you to hear. We learn by repetition, don't we? In fact, one of the catechism questions, and well, we do the catechism. In fact, we repeat the catechism every year. The children are memorizing it. One of the easier catechism questions, not because of its length, is the one that has the Apostles' Creed in it. Because a lot of the children who come into class have already been reciting it every Sunday evening. And they got it. And they didn't even try. They just picked it up through repetition. That's how we teach, isn't it? We repeat things and repeat things and repeat things. The same is true with the gospel. We learn by repetition. And so my job is to repeat to you things that you have already heard because I want you to remind them. I'm like one who ties something around the finger to remember. I want to tie the gospel around your finger so that whatever you do, wherever you go, you look at it and you remember God's promises to you. Because that's what's going to give you the strength to go throughout your week. This is also really good for my job security because I'm not smart enough to come up here and come up with a bunch of new things. I just bring you what God has already given. But let me talk briefly to all of you as you're calling. Now here Peter, yes, he's an apostle. And yes, I'm called as a minister. And we may say, well, okay, yes, you're a minister. He was an apostle. You're a pastor. We have elder here. We have deacons. Yeah, of course, they're called to do this. And they are. But what about me? Well, I would say that we are all ultimately called to do this. Parents especially, you're called to remind your children over and over again. We remind them of other things. Pick up your room. Turn off the light. This is the most important thing to remind them of. But also to one another. We are the body of Christ. We are to care for one another. You may see a fellow believer who has forgotten. They're walking in darkness. You need to remind them of the truth. And then, of course, we need to go out into the world. Remind all people. We who are united to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who have the Spirit in us, the Spirit of truth. We are the light and the salt for the world. If we do not go out and remind people of the truth, the world has no access to it. And so we need to go forth. And we will do it as those who love the Lord. Malachi 3:16, those who fear the Lord make mention of his name and talk of his loving kindness. Simply talking about God. We're reminding one another about who he is. Now we need to remind one another all the more as our days come to an end. We won't be around, and Peter recognizes that, we won't be around all the time to remind others. There's a time where, as Peter says, we'll put off this tent or this body. We won't be able to be around to tell them personally. Notice with me that he says, as long as I am in this tent, I will stir you up by reminding you. Now, this is a common metaphor for the body. Paul uses this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In other words, he's saying, as long as I have breath in my lungs, as long as I am physically here on this earth, I'm going to remind you of these truths. He goes on and he says, I know that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. He probably is referencing to the Lord's words to him in John chapter 21. He says, you will be led, you'll be bound and led where you do not want to go, signifying what death he would die. And tradition says that he was crucified. So he knew that he was going to die soon. And he has an urgency about him. As long as I am in this tent, as long as I am here on this earth, I am going to make it my mission to remind you of these things, of these truths. In fact, I would submit to you that we should actually become busier in the things of the kingdom the closer we come to putting off our tent, to leaving the world. It's kind of opposite, isn't it? We think as we get older, it's time to slow down and retire and rest. Now, I'm not saying that retiring from an earthly vocation is wrong. I'm not saying that we ought not to have some time to rest. But for the Christian, where God has called you, there is no retirement this side of heaven, is there? No, we are called to go on, and Peter understands this. He has an urgency. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to keep working. One other thing I want you to notice here in this metaphor of putting off his tent. It made a lot of sense to those who were used to moving around. Those who were used to living in tents. Think of the children of Israel. They moved around, and when they would move their tent, they would uproot the tent pegs and move to a different place. And so the language here, I'm going to put off my tent, is language that can mean I'm going to move. I'm getting ready to move, Peter says. Now, where's he moving to? He's moving from the church on the earth to the church in heaven. What a fascinating picture. Do you ever think of your own death as moving day? Or are you going to pick up your tent, pick up the stakes and move? It's an interesting thought. But however we think of it, we must know that we are, unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we are going to put off this tent. We know that to put off this tent, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord for the Christian. But there will come a time where we will leave. When I think of this often, I think of it as I preach. As I enter the pulpit, I remind myself that this may be the very last thing anyone hears from me on this earth, in this life. What is going to be left ringing in the ears of those who have heard me preach? Was it clear? Did it exalt Christ? Did it encourage? Did it warn? That's what I'm concerned with. And that's what I challenge you to think about. Not to think inordinately about your death and to fear, but to simply think, what is it that people are going to remember of my life when I put off this earthly tent? And Peter gives a reason here as to why we need to remind others. He says in verse 13, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. We need to remind others because we need to stir them up. We need to be stirred up. The word translated stirred up here means to be aroused or awoken from sleep. Because we can fall into a deep slumber. The slumber of forgetfulness. We need to be aroused from our slumber. We might think of these reminders as wake-up calls to us. Not just talking about physical wake-up calls, although sometimes we need that. We come in, especially in the morning. We haven't been up for very long. Or maybe we've had a busy day and we're sluggish. But I'm not talking simply about physical wake-up calls, but spiritual wake-up calls. Stir us up so that we, in being reminded of these things, stop looking around. That's the danger. We look around at our circumstances. We look around at what is going on in our life. And we start to forget. But these gospel reminders tell us as we're walking, let me put it this way, as we are walking through the dark valley of forgetfulness, these gospel reminders tell us to look up, Look at Christ, remember who he is, and remember who you are in him. And that then stirs us up. It reminds us, yes, now I remember. And then it spurs us on to love and good works. Now, how do we do this? Well, preaching is a primary way, but also the reading of the Word. Be in the Word every day. Children, listen to me. Start it now. Be in the Word every day. That is where you're going to be fed. That is where you're going to be reminded. But also we remind one another in our Bible studies. I'm looking forward to starting the study of James in our Friday night group. We're going to, every other week, we're going to gather together for a reminder session to be reminded of who God is and who we are. That is going to stir us up. Memorizing Scripture. It's a great practice. Songs. Let me tell you what. Singing the Word of God. We've started in our home to memorize Scripture. We've started putting Scripture to music and singing it. What a great way to memorize things. Because I can tell you from personal testimony that there are those who I've seen who have gone through situations where they can no longer remember a lot, but they still remember the things that they learned through song. And so what a good way to put that not only in our heads but in our hearts and have that constant reminder of what God has done for us. And we need that reminder. Peter brings that out here. Because we are prone to forget, we run into problems. And I guarantee you, you will run into problems. You know this. You live in the world. I live in the world. We have difficulties. We struggle with our own sin. We struggle with the fact that we live in a fallen world. We know the truth. We just don't remember it. And Peter wants to correct that. We tend to develop that spiritual amnesia, that forgetfulness. We need to remember. And what do we need to remember first and foremost? We need to remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hear me. That is what we need to remember first and foremost. The gospel, the good news. Not what we do for God. That comes after. And we look at the Heidelberg Catechism. It begins with guilt or sin. Then it goes on to grace. And then it goes on to gratitude. We don't begin in gratitude. No, we begin with guilt. We understand that we are sinners. But then we move on to grace. We understand and remember what God has done for us in Christ. And then from that, as we're stirred up, we go out and we live lives of gratitude for what God has done. So we need to remember what God has done for us. And then as we remember, here's the encouragement. We need to go out and become gospel reminders to others. So there's truly two things that I want you to remember from this. Remember what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're stirred up, go out and become gospel reminders to others. This is what the world needs. The world needs the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we, as God's people, forget it, how will we ever be able to remind anyone else of it? So a good way to remember this, and I was in the military, we put in for R&R. I don't know if you've heard of that before. R&R, rest and relaxation. Well, let's change it a little bit. The Christian life is R&R, remembering and reminding. So that's what I want you to do. Remember what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, and then go out and remind others of it. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, thank you for giving us so many reminders. Your word is filled with promises. Your word is filled with those great and glorious reminders of your love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess that we can succumb to spiritual amnesia, forgetting those things that we have known. We ask that you would, by your Spirit, and even by the fellowship of the saints, remind us of these truths, and in doing so, we might be stirred up so that we, in turn, go forth and remind others of these great and glorious promises. We ask that you would do this unto your glory and to our good. In Jesus' name, amen.